Glad to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here. Really happy today to welcome to our microphones Danielle Trissoni. She is author of the book Falling Through the Earth. Danielle grew up in La Crosse. She's the daughter, as I mentioned before, a newscast of a Vietnam War tunnel rat, Dan Trissoni. He was a fascinating guy, and she had, I think, a kind of an interesting relationship. She learned a lot from him. She loved him, and sometimes she didn't love him so much. And her book is a masterpiece. As a matter of fact, the New York Times picked it as one of the 10 best books of 2006. At that time, it was in hardcover. Now it's been released in softcover. And so we're pleased to have her with us by phone today to talk about her book. Maybe you've read it. Falling Through the Earth is the title. If you'd like to join in with your questions or comments for her as we move along, you're most welcome to do that at 1-800-642-1234 or in the Madison area at 263-1890, 263-1890. Give us a call with your questions and comments. Danielle Trissoni with us by phone today. Thank you so much for taking time to be with us. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you for having me on. I'm really happy to be here.
Tell you what, it must have been difficult to write about your family in this fashion, because it's pretty honest.
Yeah, it was extremely difficult for me to write about my family. In fact, I had to sort of get some distance from where I had lived before. I was even in a different country when I wrote the book. I was in Eastern Europe, and that distance really did sort of help remove me from sort of feeling like, a lot of tension about writing about them. But you're right, it was pretty difficult. And I realized how difficult it was once it was published. You know, like before it was published, it was just sort of this manuscript that I had been working on for a long time and a repository for my memories and a way for me to work out my feelings about my father and my childhood. But once it was out there and, you know, once it had started to have a higher profile, then I found it more difficult, obviously.
Yeah, and to deal with the family back home.
Yeah, which, you know, wasn't too difficult. I didn't have a whole lot of, you know, bad things to deal with. But also, my father, the book, for your listeners who don't know what it's about, is it's a memoir about my relationship with my dad. And it's told in sort of three stories. There's my childhood growing up in La Crosse, Wisconsin, when my parents divorced. My mom and dad divorced when I was 11, and I spent a lot of time with my dad after the divorce. And then the second section of the book is my dad's stories about when he was in Vietnam, which he had told to me over the years and also in some taped interviews that I did with him when I was in college. And then the third component of the narrative is my trip to Vietnam when I was in my mid-20s to go to the tunnels where he had served. So sort of those three narratives are all braided together in the book.
And wonderfully so. I really very much enjoyed reading your book. And I'm going to highly recommend it to everyone, as
well,
a matter
thank
of
you.
Fact. And I know it's done very well, and it's nice that it's now out in soft cover. But, you know, what was your dad like? Talk about your dad.
Well, my dad was from a very large family of Catholic Italian descent, or Italian descent, and they were Catholics. They lived in right on the Mississippi River, about 30 minutes south of La Crosse, Wisconsin. And he came from a very big and rambunctious and energetic family. And when he was in his early 20s, he was drafted into the war. And he didn't want to go. He had told me that many times, but he felt that he needed to. So he went, and he came back, and he really never, from what I could tell, was able to shake the experiences that he had had in Vietnam. So there was always sort of like a ghost, you know, hovering behind him, or a sort of shadow, I thought, of the war. And so, you know, as a child looking at my father, of course I couldn't pick out all of these elements of his personality. I just knew him as this, you know, sometimes you know, kind of wild and sometimes kind of violent and sometimes very loving person with all of these different qualities sort of wrapped up into one man. And so I guess that the book, you know, Falling Through the Earth, really is about me untangling those elements of him and sort of trying to understand them from an adult's point of view.
Yeah.
One thing that I did try very hard to do in the book was to keep the childlike perspective and the sort of awe that I felt, for, you know, for this larger-than-life personality as a little girl. But the real sort of objective as, you know, as a woman is to look back and see how this incredible person who had faults and also great strengths affected me.
It's really interesting that your dad was, well, what do you think, how badly do you think, or how greatly do you think the war actually affected your dad?
You know, it's hard to say. People say that, you know, and this is the difficulty with post-traumatic stress disorder. People say, well, how can you measure it exactly? And with any sort of mental trauma or, you know, memories that affect one in the present that happen, you know, obviously many years before, there's not a real way of knowing exactly how bad it is. My father had a mental health assessment about 35 years after he had come back from the war, and that was administered by the VA, I believe it was by the VA. And he was diagnosed as having serious PTSD 35 years later. So when he was just back from the war, when I was a child, I believe it was much worse.
Yeah.
So, and it, you know, of course, there's a lot of factors that I, you know, that I don't know about, you know, his childhood, for example, I wasn't there.
Yeah.
I don't know what kind of childhood he really had. And I didn't even really speculate in my book, because I felt like that wasn't my territory.
And you obviously didn't know him before he left.
Clearly. Yeah. Clearly I didn't know him until I was, you know, children come to consciousness or they come to a perception of their parents, you know, 6, 7, 8 is like when the beginning of the memories start. So it's very hard to piece it all together. And one thing I find very interesting, and now I'm a mother myself, is that children remember sort of the storyline that their parents give them for a long time. You know, this is our family, this is who we are, this is our religion, this is what we do. And it's really the process of growing up, for me, it seems to me, is breaking that story and figuring out how much of that story fits your own.
Yeah. Well, let's go to that middle part a little bit, and then maybe go back to the beginning, and to get an idea, or to give people an idea of what he had to do when he was, and even volunteered to do, I guess, while he was in Vietnam, and that was to be a tunnel rat. You described
right.
that in harrowing detail. Those stories are just hard to imagine how people could actually do what your dad had to do.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine what he did, and it's also very hard to imagine how the Vietnamese lived, because many of them, let me just describe for a minute what the tunnels were. In the 50s, the Viet Minh, who were sort of the precursor group to the Viet Cong, had started building tunnels when the French were in Vietnam. And when the Americans came, they expanded those tunnels so that they were hundreds of miles long. They stretched from Cambodia all the way to Saigon. And they were often multiple stories deep. And people, the Vietnamese, lived in these tunnels for years at a time. They were extremely narrow, cramped rooms. There were kitchens. There were hospitals. There were munitions factories. There were all of these things to sort of keep their resistance going. And so my father, when he went down, he was coming in, you know, he had never experienced this kind of this world at all. And so he would go in and have to squeeze in my father was a small man, and most tunnel rats were very small in order to fit into the tunnels. And he would sort of squeeze in through an entrance and find himself in a sort of antechamber that was often booby-trapped. Most of the tunnel rats who died in the tunnels died from going in. There would be punji sticks, or they had a very elaborate system of booby traps. And then once he was in, he would go down and try to find documents, try to see if there were people down there. He had a number of jobs that he did. But when he came out, clearly it was such an unsettling experience that it really stayed with him.
And then he went back home and married your mother.
Mm-hmm.
And started well, but didn't last.
Well, I think, you know, my father was an extremely strong person, mentally strong as well as physically strong, I think. And he fought feeling the, I think he fought feeling that the post-traumatic stress disorder or feeling like he was incapable with everything he had. I think that I know he had post-traumatic stress when he came back. He had, you know, brought a human skull back from the war and had that sort of in our house. And he had also, there were photographs that he had taken of his kill that he looked at regularly. And you know, he also had what I would say is a drinking problem. You know, standards of drinking vary wildly in the Midwest from other places. But, you know, I think he drank every day. And so, yeah, he did have a lot of trouble. And I think that my mom was an antidote for that. So when he was happy with her and when things were good with her, I think that it helped keep all of that sort of in place in a way that once they divorced and he was alone and in a lot of pain, he couldn't do anymore.
Yeah. Danielle Trissoni, our guest today, as we talk with her about her book, Falling Through the Earth. Pleased to have her with us. And certainly if you want to join in with your questions or comments, maybe you've read the book and have a comment for her, give us a call at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Or in the Madison area, reach us at 263-1890, 263-1890. I'm Larry Mueller. Keisha Mabra, our on-air producer, and you are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Visiting with Danielle Trissoni about her book, about her father and her family and herself. It's called Falling Through the Earth. And I'll mention again that it was one of the 10 best books of 2006 selected by the New York Times. Really happy to have her along. And again, you can join us at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. Give us a call with your questions and comments. And before we go to the phones, Danielle, just to follow up a little bit further, when your parents divorced, you essentially decided to live with your dad and not your mother and your other siblings.
Right. For a period of time, that's true. And the most intense period that's sort of detailed in the book is when I lived with my dad. It was technically joint custody between my mom and my dad. And so there was a lot of shuffling back and forth. But no, you're right. I wanted to live with my father through that period when he was having a hard time. I felt that he was alone and needed people.
Yeah.
Needed people there.
And you helped him out and went to the bars with him? And
we all actually did. We all did. At some point or another. I still get emails from people. It's really funny. I get emails from people in La Crosse saying, yeah, I hung out with your dad at Roscoe's and at the Vogue. And I remember, you know, I actually had one person say, I remember seeing you there. And so it was it's very interesting now that the book is out how people, you know, reach out with their memories about that time, too.
I'm going to take some calls now because every one of our lines is filled. So let's go to the phones. And Billy in Rushford, Minnesota. You're up. Good morning. Thank you for calling.
Okay, yes, good morning to you, and thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to let you know that I am a Vietnam veteran, and I have been in tunnels and that sort of thing, and I probably have and maybe at times still have to deal with PTSD. But the main reason I called is there is a new organization called Daughters of Vietnam Vets that's supposed to be helpful to the daughters of Vietnam veterans, and I thought you should know about it. And I just had their website, and it's dovv.net.
Dovv.net?
Yes, it's the initials of Daughters of Vietnam Veterans.
Oh surely. Okay.
And I'm not sure how useful it will be, but I just thought since there is an organization like that, perhaps you'd like to know.
Thank you. Yeah, I didn't know about that. And I think that awareness is sort of growing, you know, now that the generation after, you know, Vietnam is my age, you know, in our early 30s, there is more of a tendency to organize and talk about these things. So that's wonderful.
Thanks, Billy. I appreciate it.
Okay. Bye for now.
Bye-bye. DOVV.net. I'm sure there are many daughters of Vietnam vets listening today as well. Donna in Wausau, it's your turn. Hi, Donna.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I did read the book. I read it just before. This is funny because I read it just before I was going to a seminar, 3-day seminar on authors and 20th century wars at the university here in Marathon County. And I mentioned it to the instructor, and she said she would add it to her list. She was very interested in reading it. I was really moved by the whole book. And I wondered, I don't remember, how is your father? Is he still...
Actually, my father died last year.
Last year, okay.
Yeah, he died in February of last year.
All right. I was just wondering what your relationship was.
Well,
after.
Our relationship, you know, in the book, a large part of the book is me trying to come to terms with the fact that my relationship was never perfect with my father or as good as I wanted it to be. And it remained that way pretty much until
right
the end.
The end?
Yeah.
Oh,
I mean, okay. I was there. I took some time off from my work to go and be with him when he was dying. He died of cancer. And so I had a good 4 weeks before he died to talk to him about things, and that was extremely helpful.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate it. Did you talk with him about the book?
I did talk with him about the book a lot.
Was he mad about it?
He wasn't mad about it. And, you know, he knew about the book before it was published. And I had, even though we were not always getting along, I had consulted him many times about it. And he had read pieces of it. Mm-hmm. And he knew what was in the book and had given me the okay. So, no, he wasn't mad about it. I think at the end he wasn't even really concerned about thinking about the book. You know, like when people are that sick, they don't really care.
Yeah. Yeah.
About what everybody else is doing. He was concerned about what was happening with him, and as he should have been.
Sure.
And me too. I didn't really care so much about all of that then.
Lori in Sparta, we turn to you now. Hi, Lori.
Hi. I just had to call and say how much I enjoyed your book.
Thank you.
I thought it was so well written, and I'm always a little afraid when I pick up a book that is taking place in places that I know of because I live outside of La Crosse. And that I thought, oh, it's going to be one of those and it's not that good, but this was just excellent.
Well, thank you.
And talking about the book with our son-in-law, and he happened to go to school with your younger sister.
With Kelly?
Was in his class.
Oh, was that at Logan?
I think this would have been in Holman.
Oh, in Holman before
mm-hmm.
she moved.
He was, you know, this was a lot of years ago.
Uh-huh.
Because he was an altar boy the morning that priest was shot.
Yeah, I was there, too.
Were you? He had just ran back into the church to pick up some books. And about 5 minutes later, that happened. And
it was awful.
Yeah, devastated many people.
That must have been at St. Patrick's then that they were classmates.
Mm-hmm. That could be. Yep.
And you write about that in your book, as a matter of fact.
I do. I tried to. You know, one of my sort of standards for me for the book was that I wanted every chapter to have something to do with my dad or Vietnam and me.
Mm-hmm.
But that was one place where I actually sort of went off topic because I wanted to write about that experience. It was a really devastating experience for all of the kids that were at that school. As you can imagine with Virginia Tech in the news, school shootings are just horrible.
Lori, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Appreciate your call. And Ron in Wisconsin Rapids, we go to you next. Hi, Ron.
Yeah, I've got the good fortune of knowing her sister, and she is, I think, just a real asset mm-hmm. to the human race. She's got a heart as big as one can imagine. And
you know Kelly?
Yes.
Oh, great. Do you know her from work?
Right. I've seen some of the stuff that she's done, and she is just a real humanitarian. I think that your parents did just a wonderful job in raising her. And I guess that's all I wanted to say.
Thank you very much for calling.
Thank you. I agree 100%. I love my sister. She has really been a good example to me in her work. She's a social worker, and she spends all day with people who need her.
Thanks very much, Ron, for calling. And you can join in as well with your comments or questions as we visit with Danielle Trissoni about her book, Falling Through the Earth. You can actually see her in person. I'll mention that. She's tomorrow, right, in Madison? At
tomorrow evening at 7.
Tomorrow at 7, and you'll be at the Wisconsin Veterans Museum.
Right on the square.
Right on the square. It's a wonderful museum. If you haven't been there yet, you'll enjoy seeing it. And you'll also be at the Harry W. Schwartz Bookshop in Brookfield on Thursday.
That's right, also at 7 o'clock.
Also at 7 o'clock. So a couple of chances to meet Danielle in person. If you'd like to join in, the number to call is 1-800-642-1234, or in Madison at 263-1890, 263-1890. Give us a call with your questions and comments. You know, one thing I wondered, we were talking the other day, I was talking with Jim about a book that's out now about emails and sending emails,
uh-huh,
and whether or not, and how to avoid sending an email off that you regret later.
Uh-huh.
And in your book, you write about a letter that you wrote to your dad,
uh-huh,
which was a pretty strong letter. And I wondered if you ever regretted sending that letter. Maybe describe the letter and then tell me whether or not you ever regretted sending it.
Well, the letter was, I had written a letter after one of our fights. We fought quite often, but this was a big fight. And I ended up, you know, I'm a writer. All of my feelings and all of my thoughts become formulated when I write more, mm-hmm, than when I do anything else. And so I didn't want to have a conversation with him about it. I wanted to send him a letter because I felt I could get everything down. So I typed out a really long letter just detailing my feelings and why I was angry about certain things and where I thought that he had failed. And it was probably one of those letters I should have folded up and put in my drawer and kept. But I sent it to him, and we didn't speak for a long time after that. I mean, it was sort of over for us for a while. And when we did talk, he ended up saying, you know, I forgive you, but I'm always going to remember that letter.
Yeah.
So I do regret sending it. But a lot of the material in that letter became the basis of my book.
Yeah.
So it sort of was like a first draft.
Okay.
In some ways. I mean, it tempered, of course, and, you know, dramatized and toned down. But, yeah.
What describe a bit more for our listeners what life was like when you were living with your dad, so they have a little better vision of it.
Well, it was pretty chaotic. When my parents divorced, my mother had been pretty much in charge of all of the children and everything in running a house. And so when my dad sort of inherited us, or me, you know, and my brother and sister when they came over, it was sort of chaos. He didn't really know what to do. And in addition, my dad was a business owner. He owned a construction company that he worked very hard at maintaining. And so he was working all the time and trying to be a single parent. So if you can imagine that, and dealing with, you know, his own problem, you know, mental health problems and drinking and all of this other stuff. So, you know, as you can imagine, it was chaotic. It was, you know, often I didn't have any supervision and found myself sort of figuring things out on my own.
Well, I was not surprised, I guess, but you somehow managed to, you had a little bit of juvenile crime in you when you were young, I guess.
A little bit. It wasn't anything too serious, but, you know, shoplifting and things like that. You know, kids get in trouble, underage drinking.
But you turned it around. Well, at what point did you turn it around? But you had to have turned it around because you attended the UW here in Madison.
Yeah. I did turn it around. I was a terrible, terrible student up until I somehow managed to graduate from high school. And I realized when I was out that I was reading constantly during this period, and I was writing in journals. I have journals from when I was 15 onward. And actually, I used a lot of those journals in writing this book. But I realized that I loved writing and that I loved literature so much that I wanted to do that. That's what I wanted to do with my life. And I knew that in order to do that, I had to go to college and I had to be educated. You know, clearly it's the basis of writing is having subject matter, right? So I went to Viterbo College in La Crosse for 1 year to get my grades up.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up getting, like, you know, pretty much straight A's there, and then transferred to UWL, where I was Phi Beta Kappa and summa cum laude and all of that. And that experience of turning myself around and going to college and having goals was an extremely like formative and important step for me, I think, as a human being and as a writer.
Sure. Mary in DeSoto, we'll give you a chance now. Good morning, Mary. Thanks for calling.
Good morning. Thank you. I haven't had the opportunity to read the book yet, but I was interested in knowing a little bit about what her father's life was like before marrying her mother. Was he a businessman then, and had there been any previous marriages?
Well, I don't, you know, as I said, I don't know much about my father's life before I was around, other than what people have told me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the brief stories that are in the book that are about his life are all secondhand, you know, stories. And and so I really can't vouch for them too much other than that's what people told me. But he was married once before. He had two children with that in that marriage. And I don't think he was a businessman then, no. I think he was working construction and working other jobs. He went to Vietnam fairly young, early 20s, and then he, you know, he was there for a year, and then he came back and married my mother.
And
so that's what I know about that period. If, you know, I don't really know anything about his first marriage, and I've never met, you know, any. I've met my older half brother, but I haven't met my older half sister.
Half sister.
Yeah.
And he was quite a successful businessman, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, he did pretty well for himself. He was never flashy or ostentatious, or you know, he was a humble person. But yes, he worked hard, and he was always very driven in a business sense. And you know, personally, I think it gave him a sense of pride that he had some things that, you know, of a success in his life. But also, I think that he worked hard in order to not think about things.
Yeah. Thanks, Mary. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And one of the parts of the book that we haven't talked about at all, and I certainly want to be sure to talk about it, is the part where you go to Vietnam. At some point, you decided you had to go to Vietnam and see the tunnels for yourself.
Uh-huh.
Was it because of the book, or was it for other reasons?
It was for other reasons. I didn't have even the book. The book wasn't even a faint idea at that point in my life. I didn't know. I mean, I knew I wanted to be a writer, but that was sort of a nebulous and undefined, you know, goal in my life in my mid to early 20s. But I went. I decided to go because I wanted to see the tunnels, and I wanted to understand what my dad had been through. So I went, and I went to Ho Chi Minh City, it's called now, although everyone still calls it Saigon.
Mm-hmm.
And I went by myself, which was maybe a mistake, probably a mistake. And I took a tour bus and went out to the tunnels and went through them. And you sort of, you know, explored the city and spent time there, sort of taking pictures and you know, trying to figure out what had happened in Vietnam. Mm-hmm. In Vietnam, before I had written this book, Vietnam was just this sort of huge experience in the background of my life. And, you know, falling through the earth was a way for me to, you know, not only analyze it, but to put it away in mm-hmm. some ways, mm-hmm. like to keep it from being this sort of shadow figure in my life. And, you know, going to Vietnam as a young woman was the first step in that. And actually, I don't know at what point I realized that I needed to do it, but it was somehow it must have just been a eureka moment for me, because it really did help.
And it turned into a kind of a scary experience as well.
Yeah, it did. you know, like a lot of young women, I was pretty naive about going and traveling alone. I mean, a lot of women do travel alone, and it's fine. But I had never been in a third, you know, sort of a third world country where I would need to watch myself and be safe. And I was by myself. It turned out to be scary. There was a guy who had been following me for, you know, a good part of a week. And at first I didn't really notice him too much, and then it got progressively scarier. He tried to steal my bag by breaking into my hotel room, and it was, scary.
Pat in La Crosse, we'll give you an opportunity now. Pat, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Danielle.
Good morning.
I just wanted to share with you that many years ago, when we put an addition on our first home, your father was not back from Vietnam all that long, and he did the foundation for us.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, he was a lot of fun.
Do you still live in that house?
Yeah, he was a lot of fun to be around. He was happy when it was Friday and it was time to get out of that addition.
Yeah.
But I also knew your grandmother. She gave me swim lessons many years ago.
Oh, my grandmother is wonderful.
Yeah.
That's on my mother's side.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Right.
I also have worked in the past with your stepfather.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, it's a county. So
very it's a small world.
Yes. Lots of connections.
I just got through telling my daughter her book club has to read this book. I gave your book as a recommendation.
Thank you so much.
Yeah,
that's very nice of you.
Okay. Keep up the good work.
Thank you very much for calling. And I'm wondering, did you ever, you went back to some of the couple of the bars and you certainly talked to people in the community. Not too many, you don't really identify too many people per se outside the family in your book, but what was the reaction to folks in La Crosse?
Well, you know, it's interesting because I haven't gone back to the bars and talked to people, but, you know, none of the names and characteristics of the people that I describe in the book that are secondary characters are accurate because originally they were in my book when I was writing it, but my publishing house asked a lawyer to talk to me, and we had to change it to keep, you know, to keep them sort of anonymous so it wouldn't offend anybody. So, you know, a lot of those characters that are secondary have been changed.
Okay, so they're really not.
Well, no, they really are those people, but they have different names, or you know what I mean. Like, and they're all real people, but they have a different name or a different job, or you know, the lawyer would say, well, you should change the hair color, or you know, that sort of thing, like minor details, so that those people wouldn't feel exposed.
Okay, gotcha. You attended the Iowa Writers Workshop, and friends who have attended the Iowa Writers Workshop. How important was that for you?
It was monumentally important for me. I highly recommend going to a writing workshop if you would like to write, especially as a young writer, because it's the only place, I think, in the world that you can have 2 years of uninterrupted time to just think about your writing. And that's really what it gave to me. I wouldn't have had enough money to be able to support myself for two whole years of just working on the craft of writing. And having wonderful teachers. Marilyn Robinson was there. James McPherson was there. There was just a whole, you know, wonderful bunch of writers that came and taught. And that was such an amazing experience. I don't think I would have been able to, get it together and actually write a book if I hadn't been there.
Is your mom still living?
She is.
And what was her reaction to the book? Because there are some things about your mom, too, that...
Well, my mom is a very private person. And she never, I think, could understand the impulse that I had to write this book. And I think that if people, you know, look at the process from the outside, if they're not a writer and they don't understand that in order for me to think, I actually need to write. I mean, that might sound bizarre, but it's the only way. I think Joan Didion says she doesn't know what she thinks until she writes it down. And Flannery O'Connor said something very similar to that. And I think that that's true for people who become writers. They need to formulate their emotions and their thoughts through writing. So from her point of view, not being a writer, I don't think she got it. I don't think she understood why I needed to write these things down. And so when I first told her, she just sort of said, oh, you know, really? Like, she didn't really understand why I was writing it. But she didn't object, and she didn't really say much about it. She's a very quiet, kind of private person. And then when the book came out, I think she felt exposed, as I knew she would. And I had talked to her about it before, gave her an advanced copy of the book to read. Mm. And she wasn't angry so much as that she felt that her privacy had been, you know, impeded upon in some way. Which is a very natural feeling. You know, my kids are probably going to write something wonderful about me payback time.
Oh.
So, but I think that, you know, what's interesting is that everyone who reads the book, not everyone, but almost everyone who reads this book comes back to me and says, I loved your mother. My mom is portrayed as a very positive, in a very positive light, I think.
Yeah.
Throughout the book, as a strong woman who found herself in a situation that put her sort of, you know, out of touch with, like, her family. Like, she had so many, she didn't have a lot of support in the whole and her whole relationship with my father. So I think that she is where she is. You know, she's a very successful person now. She has a great career. And I think that that says worlds about her.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And one other question. You wrote the first draft in Bulgaria.
I did. I did. My husband is a Bulgarian writer who actually has just started writing in English. His first book is coming out next year here in the States. And we lived in Bulgaria for 3 years after we met. And I wrote the first draft there.
Cool. And what are you working on now?
I'm writing a novel, part of which is set in Wisconsin. So.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Well, when is it going to be finished?
I don't know. You want to come over and help me write it?
No, I don't want to do that. But I certainly would like to talk to you when it comes out.
Okay.
I'd love for that, Danielle. And thank you so much for being with us today. I want to mention again that you will be appearing at the Wisconsin Veterans Museum in Madison tomorrow night at 7 p.m. And let's see, the Harry W. Schwartz Bookshop in Brookfield on Thursday night, the next night, April 26th at 7 p.m. A real pleasure to speak with you today. Thank you so much for being with us, Danielle.
Thank you for having me. And if anyone is interested in learning more about it, I have a website, too. So I'm just going to mention that.
Oh, yeah, give the website.
It's www.danielletrissoni.com. Very easy.
Danielle, and Trissoni is spelled T-R-U-S-S-O-N-I.
Right, exactly. It's all one, you know, all one string of letters, danielletrissoni.com.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, Danielle Trissoni. An interesting person. Grew up in La Crosse, the daughter of a charismatic Vietnam War tunnel rat, Dan Trissoni, and her memoir is called Falling Through the Earth, and it's published in paperback now by Picador. The book was selected as one of the 10 best books of 2006 by the New York Times. I certainly enjoyed reading it very much and certainly recommend it to you. And I also recommend that you stay with us because we're going to be talking about financial security in later years, coming up next year on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.